Welcome to episode 499 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by the digitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games.
499. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. We've got some more to say about that at the end of the show. We're going to be soliciting a little bit of help from you for episode 500, but we're also going to make it worth your while. So more details at the end of the show. We've got a lot of feedback to get into, a lot of news to get into. So we're going to do that first. These were all sent in either through our contact form over at thedigitalmediazone.com or just directly to our inboxes at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. All right, first one. This is from Rob. I like this one. He's asking us a regular question. He says, "Hey guys, I was wondering if you could comment on your favorite streaming box interface and why. I find myself being partial to the Roku interface because I seem to rely on muscle memory and absolutely hate when interface items move around. I find the Fire TV annoying since they mix in paid and free content, and switching profiles on Apple TV has been more of a hassle than I thought. With five different people using the device, it never stays on my profile. So I was just curious to get your guys' thought on who makes the best interface and why. Thanks and love the show." Rob, awesome, awesome question.
Yeah.
Richard, I'm going to throw it to you first because I know you're going to have some really strong opinions.
Oh, I have very strong opinions. And this shouldn't surprise anyone. My preferred device is the Apple TV. I don't know if you're necessarily going to know why, though. So one of the things that Apple does with its app providers for Apple TV is kind of inflict on them, for lack of a better word, very restrictive behaviors in terms of how you can navigate around the app, how you navigate out of the app, and what the experience is when you get into the app. One of the things that annoys the crap out of me, and I remember having this conversation, I believe, this is funny, I believe we had this conversation back at episode 250. With Adam about how janky the Xbox 360 experience was, because when you went into an app, everyone was a little bit different. And then when you come out of it, it forces you to confirm that you want to leave the app, even though why? What is the point of that? There's no good. Are you sure you want to leave? Why? What's going to happen? Are you going to delete all my videos? No, of course not. It's not destructive. There's no reason to confirm it. It's just another extra stupid step. And most of the streaming devices don't disallow their app providers from doing that. So many app providers, including some of the majors like Hulu and Vudu and others, still have that stupid, unnecessary step. Apple does not allow it. So the overall experience is far more seamless. And I like that. I like that quite a lot. I don't have the problem of multiple profiles to deal with. So that's an interesting twist here. I wonder, and I don't know because I haven't tried this myself, but I wonder if using a voice command on the remote might be possible to make that easier. That's something worth looking into. But yeah. So that's me. How about you, Josh?
You know, for me, I don't have nearly as strong of opinions. I've bounced around a lot. I currently have three devices primarily hooked up. Well, the Xbox One, the NVIDIA Shield TV, and the TiVo are the TiVo Bolt OTA are the main devices hooked up to my TV right now. The PlayStation is there, but the PlayStation is only there for games. I don't do anything else on it. Right now, I'm using the TiVo a lot more, and I think the main reason is everything is there. You know, my recorded TV is there. My live TV is there. My Hulu is there. YouTube is there. Pretty much everything is there. The one exception to that is if I'm like, well, I might watch some TV, but I could very easily be convinced to play a game. Then I will launch whatever it is that I'm watching on, unless it's live or recorded TV, on my Xbox so that, you know, people could message me or whatever. But in terms of like actual interfaces and stuff, I mean, so much of it comes down to the apps and stuff like that, because I'm very app focused, unless it's that live TV and stuff. And when it comes to live TV and DVR, the TiVo's got everything else beat.
It does.
I think that's where I'm going for now. It was primarily the NVIDIA Shield for a while.
Right.
But the Hulu app is basically unusable right now.
And really?
We'll get into that later. Yeah, it just buffers and stutters like crazy. It
wow.
is unusable. I've gotten calls at work. We can't watch Hulu. What are we supposed to do? And I'm like, well, push the button that looks like a TV on the Harmony and it'll switch to the TiVo and use it there. Or push, I know this is weird, push the music button on the Harmony and it'll launch the Xbox and you can watch it there. So, I mean, fortunately we have lots of options, but I don't know. It's really just whatever I'm kind of in the mood for at this point. I am really loving how just everything is there with the TiVo. And I'm starting to get more into using some of the more advanced features like the OnePass stuff where it will combine the streaming services along with the TV sources all in one DVR type system.
That's
really nice.
I love that. The consolidated list of stuff that you that's up to watch next is just so useful.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple people in the chat are both saying Xbox One. That used to be the main thing in my house. It's not anymore. You know, I think, honestly, one of the reasons it's not the Xbox is I still don't think the Xbox is as friendly to use with the Harmony. So,
yeah,
like I can never remember which button on my Harmony is the Xbox guide button and stuff like that. So
yeah, and
if
and
I
part
can't
of that,
remember, I can't expect anybody else in my house to remember.
Yeah, part of that is because Microsoft itself has been kind of inconsistent with how it uses buttons or like remote buttons to perform some of the functions. I know I've ranted before about just video playback and what a hassle that is from app to app because it's different. They don't require the developers to support, say, fast forward and rewind the normal way, like with those buttons. So all of that can be really problematic.
Great question, Rob.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really enjoyed that. All right, well, our next message is from Gary. And Gary says, well, Gary has a little bit of a rant, which I can totally appreciate. Gary says, just to follow up on the Australian Vudu, then Ultraviolet, then Flixster Video, now Google Play shuttering experience. Today, I received the go-ahead to migrate my collection. 27 movies and TV titles, not counting those VPN arbitrage Vudu titles that just disappeared thanks to geofencing. Whilst grateful, each title had to be individually migrated, and whilst I was chuffed, again, love it, to see over 300 of the $300 of titles at current Google Play prices, I didn't have to buy again. I was very sad to see that I had to leave another $300 to $400 in the Flixster locker to disappear completely this December 2019. Hence the humbug. The reason stated is that the titles were not in Google Play. This is rubbish. A quick search confirmed. I think it was more due to my copies being US Vudu copies, legitimately acquired, until they were deemed that they weren't. I will tweet screens of the process. Cheers. Wow, That sucks.
Yeah, that really, really sucks. I would be chuffed too, so much so that I would start using the word chuffed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Gary, thanks for giving us the feedback. Obviously, things work a little bit differently on the other side of the planet from us, so it's nice to hear how things are going. Unfortunately, I wish they were going better for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, Captain Lon Paul is back at it again. He's got a lot of feedback here. He says, welcome to another episode of Feedback 2.0. Firstly, this email is only for Josh. This is why I'm reading it, as I can no longer give feedback to Richard after hearing that he's not watching Parks and Rec. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, I know. I am too. I'm so disappointed. So if this isn't meant for me, but you're allowed to read it, Josh, then I assume you've seen Parks and Rec.
I've seen trailers of Parks and Rec.
Oh.
I've seen pictures of Parks and
Rec. Oh.
I know about Parks and Rec.
Oh, man, we are both in the doghouse now.
Oh, look over there. There's more to this email. Josh, I'm expecting you to test out xCloud with Sea of Thieves. Don't tell Richard, he's not allowed to play until he finishes Parks and Rec. Richard, if you read all this after knowing this feedback wasn't for you, that's the same as copying test answers, and that's deplorable. You should be ashamed.
I am. I'm totally ashamed. Also, Paul, horrified in our chat right now that you have not watched Parks and Rec. But just to let you know, Paul also provided some feedback on a topic we're going to discuss later in the show. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Ah, wow. All right. Well, let's dive into our news topics. And we're going to start out with TiVo. And the big news is that the TiVo Edge that's kind of been teased and that our friend Dave Zatz has been talking and writing about is for reals. So anyway, this new box is an all new design. We talked about this before. It's flat. I'm so happy it's flat. It's not this stupid bent thing. It includes 4K, Dolby Atmos, Dolby Vision. I don't think we talked about this before, but it's also going to include some streaming service called TiVo Plus. I believe it was their CEO that talked about this a couple of weeks ago at an event. And this is going to be, well, I can't quite wrap my head around this, actually. This is going to be a streaming service that may at some point include some custom and exclusive content to TiVo, but it's also going to include things like TMZ and Cheddar and Tastemade and stuff like that. I don't know. Are you excited about that? Is that something you would care about?
No, I think there's a lot to be excited about with this new TiVo thing. TiVo Plus is not one of them. There is absolutely nothing that I saw listed in TiVo Plus that I'm interested in watching.
Yeah, yeah. And frankly, I don't understand why they're getting in this game, although everyone seems to want to do exclusive content. So maybe they'll have something to offer, but that's really risky. Now, there are basically two flavors of this, as there has always been. There's an over-the-air version, the Edge OTA, and there's a cable version, the Edge Cable. The pricing is what really struck me. So the Edge Cable is $400. That's pretty much in line with what TiVos have cost recently. It is certainly less expensive than what TiVos used to cost. But the service fee is now $15 a month or $150 a year or now $550, probably $549.99 for a lifetime service. That went up again.
Did it? Because service price did not go up for the OTA.
Yeah, it used to be, well, long ago, 10 years ago, it was $3.99. And then it went up to, I believe, $4.99 when the Romeo came out. And now it's $5.49? That's nuts. That's nuts. Also, by the way, they are no longer licensing the data service. They own it now.
Right. Right. Yeah. They don't have to pay Romeo for guy data. They bought Romeo.
That's not Romeo, but yeah. It was Rovi.
Rovi. Yes. Sorry.
And that was really the whole Tribune stuff. Like all of that, that's all the same company. Yep. This is all TiVo now. So I don't quite understand what that's about. But new device, so that's cool. Sometimes they have these promotions where you can transfer your existing lifetime service. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if they end up doing something like that at some point. Now, the over-the-air box. Here's where I'm really frustrated. The over-the-air box costs $350 for an over-the-air DVR with streaming services. We'll get back to that. The service fee is additional. It's $7 or $70 annually or $250 for lifetime service. That pricing hasn't really changed that much over time. But $350, $350 for an over-the-air DVR. You could buy the highest end, largest storage version of a Scribe.
An HD home run Scribe.
An HD home run Scribe plus an Apple TV or some other device, maybe a Fire TV box to use as your player for that and get all the other streaming services for well less than $350.
Yes, that's true. And the thing that makes this more frustrating is that it's $100 more than what the Bolt was. The Bolt was a $250 device.
Yeah, right.
Same amount of tuners. They're both quad tuner devices. You do get twice the storage. The new Edge is 2 terabytes of storage instead of 1, which is good, but that's kind of necessary and required at this point, and definitely doesn't justify a $100 price increase.
And I could swear at some point in time that they had a version of the Romeo that was along the lines of $100 plus lifetime service. Like if you bought the lifetime service, you only had to pay $100 for the box.
Mm.
So
but that was probably further into its lifespan.
And it was a promotion and something like, but still, I just, I have a real hard time with this pricing. Now, obviously they need to stay viable, right? They need to stay alive. When we mentioned that we were going to be talking about TiVo internally as we were having some discussion amongst our team today, there was one comment that, they're still around? And we know all too well that they're still around because we use their devices regularly and they're good devices. But what that tells you is that they're kind of out of mind for some segments.
They are. Like, I don't think that it's an unfair comparison to say that they're more like Apple devices or a Mercedes versus a Ford, you know, or something like that. Like, it is a fantastic experience.
Yep.
Like there isn't a better TV experience than what you get from TiVo. And most of the streaming apps are pretty good. They're not necessarily all the latest versions of the apps. Like the Plex app hasn't been updated in a little while. But the integration between the two is really good. The search is really good at searching between TV and your streaming services.
Yeah, and the voice search remote is really good too.
Right, right. So that matters a lot in terms of, you know, just a great turnkey. Here it is. Here's everything. I don't need to figure out all of these different things and different devices for this and different devices for that. Like it's all just in one place. Almost all of it. Like the only thing that I don't have on the TiVo that I care about so far, although I'm not sure if they have an NHL app, I'm going to find that out this week, is Spotify. And, you know, fine. But it's a really, really great experience. And you pay more. If you want a great experience in anything, you pay more for it.
This is true.
But this is a lot. This is so much. It's so much.
Yep. Yep. It definitely is. So anyway, this is now a product that they are advertising on their website. You can find out more information at TiVo.com. We'll also have some links to articles about it, including some, you know, just some initial thoughts about the product. Before we leave TiVo, you were talking about TiVo offering the best experience out there as a DVR. They're doing something that really, really bugs me. And this is something that, again, Dave Zatch reported on a few weeks ago. Again, something I believe that one of their executives ended up discussing at a at some meeting or some conference. They are running ads before your recorded content. So you recorded a show. It's on your DVR. You select it from the list. You press play. And they are injecting advertisements before the show starts. Yikes.
Yeah. There's no one that's excited about this. Maybe if they were to offset the service prices, but they're not going to do that.
No.
At least it doesn't seem like they are.
No. Now, this, in their minds, they're like, yeah, but we let you auto skip commercials. And so we need to make some, you know, accommodation there. And so we do that by injecting an initial advertisement, not unlike what some shows do on Hulu. In fact,
right.
Hulu is at the point where it's the disclaimer that they are going to play a commercial first that annoys me more than the commercial that they play first. Right? Just like get into it already. But the good news is that you can manually skip this. So it's not something that you are forced to watch. You have the ability to manually skip over this if you so choose.
And by manually skip, you mean fast forward?
I believe fast forward or with the 30-second deal.
Okay, like, right.
Like but, you have the 30-second skip.
Right. But the reason that I point that out is that TiVo has auto skip,
right.
A button where for a lot of shows, it'll show up in your guide with a little icon that says skip next to it.
Right.
And when you get to a commercial break, you can press the skip button and it skips the entire commercial break.
Right. So that's skipping. That may work on this. I don't know. That's skipping. But then TiVo also has this whole automatically skip thing that you can set in your settings now that mm-hmm. if it has that skip badge next to it, it you don't even have to press that skip button. It just automatically jumps forward. It's really nice. Yeah. So I get it. I get that they need to still make money. This is just, unfortunately, a pattern with TiVo where they continue to come out with these, I would call them intrusive advertising experiences that they think that customers will be okay with, and they think that their advertisers and their providers are going to be appeased by, and ultimately nobody's happy about the experience. They did this 5 or so years ago with ads when you press pause. That when you press pause while you were watching something, that it would start playing some sort of advertisement. It went away very quickly. Nobody liked it.
Right.
So while they're saying that this is going to be rolling out to everybody who has the new TiVo experience, that's the all-black, multi-dimensional scrolling experience, that is, you know, sure, it's going to be there, but I wonder how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's safe to say that one of the reasons we're most disappointed by some of this TiVo news tonight is because we love the product. Like it is such a great product.
And absolutely.
In some ways they're making it better. Like that gorgeous new physical hardware device.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we'll see what happens. Product evolves, services evolve. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I'm still waiting for that software. I'm still waiting for that software version of the TiVo that we get to run on our Apple TV and our Fire TV and our Roku devices.
Android TV?
Supposedly, it is going to be coming out roughly around when this thing comes. Supposedly. So we'll see. All right.
Yeah. But no official news on that yet.
No official news. Nope. But it's close. It's really close. All right. One more quick video thing. And we talk about this on Home On, so I'm not going to go into this in too much detail. But Philips Hue, the brand Philips Hue, the company now called Signify, has a new product out called the Sync Box. I think this is so freaking cool. So if you remember, a while back, Philips had this app that you could synchronize certain shows on the Sci-Fi network to automatically have your lights in your room follow along with what you were watching on TV at the time. And it listened to what you were watching and then automatically made stuff happen with the lights that are hooked up through Philips Hue. Also, you may remember a product long ago called Ambilight TV. This is maybe 10 years ago. It didn't last very long. But the idea was that it had lights behind it that made your room kind of glow with the ambient light that aligned with what you were watching. It's actually really good for your eyes. They didn't use that so much as a way of doing cool effects. But this new box is going to let them do that and do cool effects like the cool lightning and the blood red with Sharknado. You're going to be able to see that with anything that you're watching. It's going to synchronize to what you're watching on television. I love this concept. Here's where it dies for me. What would you pay for this, Josh?
If we weren't including bulbs, because their bulbs are already pricey.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that this should be a $50 device, but knowing Philips, maybe $75.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think you're way underpricing this. I think the sweet spot is $129.
Really?
Yep.
I wouldn't pay $129 for it.
Well, that's fair. But I mean, think about this. This is HDMI. There's licensing involved. You have to basically do a pass through. You have some pretty clever logic in there to figure out what's on the screen and what colors are predominant and where they are on the screen so that you can correspondingly adjust all the different lights in the room. So there's some radio technology in there as well.
I've also seen people do this with a Raspberry Pi.
Fair point. They think this is worth about $230. Come on!
That includes some bulbs, though, doesn't it?
No!
No?
No.
Oh, yikes.
$230. $230 to get on board. This is nuts.
Yeah.
This is nuts. Nope. You can buy a Kavo control center, which I usually don't recommend, but you can buy a Kavo control center, which is an entire interface for four HDMI products, which is similar to what this thing does or what this thing has in terms of hardware on it. And also buy a Philips Hue starter kit with a hub for less than $230. Now, that doesn't do the same thing, obviously, but from a hardware perspective, I mean, come on. This is just, this is way out of line in terms of how it's priced.
I also don't like that it's four HDMI inputs. Why does this need to have more than one? I want this to be a single inline pass-through device.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. I mean, the idea could potentially be that it is allowing you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to think about on the fly, and I don't have a good answer to that. But it's weird. I love it, but I hate it all at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So if someone wants to give me one for free, I mean, that's cool as anything. But yeah, otherwise, I'm not playing.
Nope.
Oh, and if it's four in, does that also mean it's four out? Do I need four additional HDMI cables to make this even work?
Yeah, I don't get this. Just make it one.
All right.
One that sits in between my receiver and my TV, and it just does it with everything.
Yep, I agree. All right, I am done with video news. Josh, tell us some good audio news.
Well, that assumes that it is good news. No, this is actually good news. It is good news. If you're a Pandora person Pandora subscriber, Pandora user, you're probably going to be excited to see some of these new app changes that they're getting. The thing that I find odd about all of this is that all of these new features are about like personalization and music discovery. The thing that I find so odd about that is that 5 years ago, what I would have said was, you've got Spotify and you've got Pandora. If you really need good discovery and personalization, go to Pandora. If you want absolute control, go to Spotify. And then Pandora kind of switched and said, we want to be more like Spotify and give them more control and let them listen to whatever they want and we'll charge them more for it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of wrecked their personalization and discovery stuff. And in the meantime, Spotify's building all of this great personalization and discovery capabilities. And now Pandora is basically just copying them. Like all of this feels like copying Spotify features. They've got a For You feed, which is, you know, music that you'd probably enjoy based on stuff that you've already listened to. They've got Pandora Modes, which is just sections of things like crowd faves and artist only, where you just hear only songs from a particular artist. Like all of this stuff is already in Spotify. I was kind of surprised to hear that this wasn't in Pandora already. The only thing that I think is really new here is that if you're a free user, there's an option to watch a video ad and then be able to essentially get premium access for that listening session, which I think is kind of cool.
It's kind of how my Candy Crush game works. Watch an ad, get a free booster.
There you go. Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. So, but to watch a video ad and then get a bunch of free music, that's maybe not so bad. So I like what they're doing. I just think it's weird the route that they took to get here. So if you're a Pandora user, I'd love to hear what you think of all of these new updates. I'm not trying this out. I'm sticking with my Spotify.
Yeah. I still only use Pandora as a paid service. I pay, I think, the minimum service fee of like $35 or $40 a year, which removes ads but doesn't give me any sort of direct access, because I still use it as a radio service.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like it for that. I have stations that I created years ago that, frankly, I'm still curating and I still enjoy. So, All right. Well, one more quick audio story. We didn't get to cover this last time, and that is the Sonos Move, a new speaker that has come out from Sonos. Finally, Sonos has released an outdoor speaker. Sonos customers have been asking for this product for literally 10 years or more, and they finally have it. What they probably didn't expect is that it was going to cost them twice as much as a Sonos One, which is what this essentially is, except with a 10-hour battery pack built onto it.
Right.
So, all of the reviews say it sounds great, sounds like the Sonos One, has all the capabilities of the Sonos One, has a voice assistant built in, works with AirPlay. It's also a Bluetooth speaker, so that's awesome. That's a new feature that they've never supported before. It comes with a base that you would keep indoors for charging it, and then when you pick it up and take it outside, it has about 10 hours of life that where it can play audio for you. And all of that comes at a heftier size and a heftier price tag.
Yeah, I love the idea here. It's just, wow, this is like the theme of the show. Love the idea. It's just too expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. All right. Well, I know I have probably participated more in the news discussion than I usually do, but this is where I get to take a break, because it's all about gaming news now.
Almost all about gaming news. There's a little bit of audio stuff in here mixed in because neither of us knew where to put this story, but we'll get to that in a second. So first up, real quick one. I mentioned earlier the some issues that I've been having with the NVIDIA Shield TV with the Hulu app. A lot of other people have been chuffed. We're going to come back to that word. Chuffed at the most recent update to the NVIDIA Shield TV that it messed up some 4K video playback, which is kind of a big deal for the Shield, because that was one of the first devices to really do lots of 4K TV. Apparently, it really messed up Vudu. I don't watch much Vudu, so but that stunk for those people. There's a brand new update. It's out today. It's on my Shield, ready to get updated right now. That is supposed to, I mean, it's supposed to fix a lot of things, but one of the big things is it's supposed to fix 4K video playback in some apps and stuff. So if you've been waiting for that, go and update your NVIDIA Shield right away. It's not like it's hard to miss. It's a giant screen at the top of the home screen that says NVIDIA Experience 8.01 is available or something like that. So just go and hit that button and let it update and restart, and hopefully it'll fix all of your problems. I'm hoping it's going to fix my Hulu problems, because I would prefer if all of my apps worked on all of my devices, and it is seriously unusable. You cannot watch Hulu on my NVIDIA Shield TV. I don't know if other people have been having that problem, but I sure have. So that'd be nice to get that fixed. So next week I'll report back on that to see if that got fixed. Now, some more gaming news. Xbox Game Pass. Microsoft has been really, really, really pushing hard trying to get people to sign up for Game Pass. It is their subscription game service. It is not a streaming service. You get access to games. You can download them and play them. They've got a version on console. They've got a version on PC. And they've got one that combines both of them into a service called Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. If you're in the United States or you're in the UK and you still haven't signed up for Game Pass, this might be a new reason for you to do that. They've got a promotion right now. This is a limited time. They're not saying how long, but it is a limited time promotion. If you upgrade or sign up for Game Pass Ultimate or Game Pass for PC, you will get 6 months of Spotify Premium for free included.
Nice.
Which is a really cool addition, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really nice.
I mean, Xbox has Spotify. Windows PC obviously has Spotify. The Spotify app on the Xbox works really well. It works with Spotify Connect, all of that stuff. So I think this is a partnership that makes a ton of sense. Also, if you haven't signed up for the stuff because you think it's too expensive, they've still got the promotion going on where you can upgrade your Xbox Live Gold subscription to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate for $1. So for $1, you're getting Game Pass Ultimate for the length of your Xbox Live Gold subscription. Plus now you're getting 6 months of Spotify Premium, which would normally set you back $10 a month. So very, very cool promotion if you're looking for those two types of services. Sticking with the Xbox, Google Assistant now on the Xbox. We've been waiting months for this. Months. Maybe since last year. I can't remember.
I think it's been a year. I mean, didn't we learn about this roughly the same time that we learned that your Echo devices were also going to be able to control the Xbox?
I think so, because they put in a setting that was like enable third-party voice assistants or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was plural. So everyone assumed the Amazon assistant and the Google assistant were
clearly not Cortana. Not.
It had Cortana. It still does. But these might be more capable than Cortana, even if you have an Invoke. I'm not sure. We've got a listener who will let us know if we're wrong about that. But even if Cortana is more capable, obviously, you know, there are exponentially more people with Google Assistant or Amazon Voice Assistant devices in their houses. So this is pretty simple to set up. You've got to join a Google group, and then it's just, you know, a couple of settings in the Xbox. Not even in the Xbox, in your Google Home app. And then it'll just show up, and you can use Google Assistant on your phone or from any of your speakers to do all of the things that you would expect to be able to do with your voice. Turning the Xbox on and off, launching games and apps, play, pause, resume, volume controls for all of your different video apps. And you can even use it to take screenshots and to do like Xbox record that type functionality. It's all just there. Paul wrote in, this was in that message that we talked about at the top of the show, to say that he's used it on his Xbox. He says it's amazing. It works really fast. He thinks it might be faster than the onboard Cortana experience, which is ridiculous that it could be, but I don't know. Nothing really surprises me with Cortana anymore. and he says it's definitely faster than using the Harman Kardon Invoke, since it can't control an Xbox. I'm not sure that he's right on that one. I've got an Invoke. I haven't used it for voice commands for that in a long time. My Invoke is in my garage as my garage Spotify player. this is cool. I haven't set mine up. I didn't play a lot of Xbox games over the last few days, so I haven't set this up to use it yet, but it sounds great. If Paul says it's great, I believe that it's great. So cool if you've been looking for that Google Assistant on your Xbox. Mm-hmm. Switch over to, from green to blue, over to the Sony side of the house. PlayStation Now, the game subscription and streaming service that we kind of frankly always forget about, I think. Maybe because they've been doing it forever. Maybe because it's just okay. Maybe because it's been too expensive. Well, Sony's doing something about at least one of those problems, and that's the price. PlayStation Now, for as long as I can remember, has been $19.99 a month, but you could absolutely make a good argument for it. They have a library of over 700 games that you can stream through the service. It is streaming only, so you have to have a good connection, and the vast majority of that library is PlayStation 3 games. I think earlier this year, maybe late last year, they started adding some PlayStation 4 games, but it's still vast majority of the games are PlayStation 3 games. So this kind of feels like Sony realizing they need to do something to make their service more competitive with Xbox Game Pass. We've got Google Stadia coming out very soon. We've got Play Pass and Apple Arcade on devices. Yep.
I mean, thank you, Apple. I think what happened here is that with Apple coming out with that price point, companies are like, holy crap, how are we going to compete with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly think that factors into it, because Apple Arcade and PlayStation Plus, or not PlayStation Plus, Google Play Pass are only $4.99 a month. You know, at a quarter of the price of PlayStation Now.
Right. Or I believe their annual price is $50 a year. So they're really, the best deal here is the half price, if you will, cost of getting the annual subscription for $60 a year versus $10 a month.
Yeah, exactly. So that's great news. And then the other big news here is they're bringing more of their top tier games to the service. So God of War, Grand Theft Auto 5, Uncharted 4, and there's another one, but it's not nearly as big as that one. All launching on the service now. So not just PlayStation 4 games, but top tier PlayStation 4 games are now going to be available on PlayStation Now. But unlike Xbox Game Pass, it's only for a limited time. January 2nd, all of those games go away. And they're basically switching this model up so that, you know, the base library stays, and then they'll always have a couple of top tier games around temporarily.
Isn't that more like EA's model?
No, because with EA Access, you just have to wait for games to enter the vault.
Oh, okay. I thought that they didn't stay around as well. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're thinking of, I think, is with EA Access, you get a 10-hour trial of all of the games.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, but what if you don't want to spend any money on games, Josh?
Well, boy, have we got a good place to find all of those free games for you now. This is something I've been thinking about doing for a while. There's so many free games announced and available every single month. We've always talked about the Xbox One games with gold. For a while now, we've been talking about the free games that you can get with PlayStation Plus. But we've now got the Epic Games Store giving away free games every week or two. We've got Twitch Prime giving away free games every month. There's a lot of free stuff available now, and it can be hard to keep track of it and hard to find what's out there. So we're going to do you a favor. From now on, every month, new post for you all that list all of these games. So we've got a new post up. Today is October 1st for all of your games for the month of October. So we're going to hit on those real quick right now. On Xbox One, Tembo the Badass Elephant, yep, that's really the name of it, and Friday the 13th are your free Xbox One games. I'm really excited about Friday the 13th. And then your Xbox 360 games are Disney Bolt and Ninja Gaiden 3. They're both backwards compatible, so you can play them on an Xbox One. PlayStation Plus has got a couple of great games. MLB The Show 19, if you're a baseball fan. The Last of Us Remastered, huge, huge deal there. The next version of that game coming out in February, I think it is, so you'll want to play that. And then on the Epic Games Store starting October 3rd, you're going to get Minute. I mentioned earlier that Twitch Prime, that's when you link your Twitch account to your Amazon Prime account. They give you free games. Those weren't announced yet when I wrote this post yesterday, so we'll be adding those to this list very soon. And like I also said, Epic Games, they add more games throughout the month. So the link to this post is in the show notes. We're going to be tweeting it and stuff regularly because games are continually being made free. We're not going to find every single service out there that's giving games away, but the big ones who are doing this regularly, we're going to list for you so that you don't miss anything. Because why pay for games if you don't have to? So there
you go.
That's awesome. We're making it easy for you.
That's awesome. Yep. I like that. I like that. And yeah, with our links to those games, Josh, all of them are free, right? So what does that mean that our affiliate take is on those free games?
Well, let's see. Let's assume we were getting 40% on those games. 40% of free of zero is still right, zero. So it's just
right,
a service for you guys.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I'm gonna step in and save you a little bit here, because when you get a whole section to do on your own, sometimes that kind of gets to your voice. So I am going to take this opportunity to remind people that if you enjoy listening to Entertainment 2.0, and obviously you do because you're listening, right? And you have friends who also want to know how to better enjoy their entertainment experience, you should tell them about our show. And you know where to find it. Let them know how to find it. Let them know where they can find Entertainment 2.0. Recommend it to a friend and help us expand our audience. Now, this is the point in the show where we talk about what is going on in our entertainment centers. And you know what's going on in my entertainment center? Big Brother is over.
Oh, no.
Worse yet, the worst person to win it won it. I'm really not happy about that.
That sucks.
So I have been consoling myself with season premieres. I watched This Is Us in New Amsterdam. Oh, right. Wait, those were both tearjerkers. Okay, never mind. On the happy side, I watched The Conners, The Good Place, Modern Family, Superstore. Josh, I'll bet you watched The Good Place.
I did watch The Good Place.
It was good. It wasn't great.
It wasn't great. It was a little bit slow to get started, but it picked up. There were some absolutely hilarious moments in there, but it wasn't quite as good as some of the earlier seasons.
Yep, there were. All right. Now, here's the thing that's cool, though. You and I get to talk about this now because we're going to be in sync with this.
Oh, yeah. This is like the only show that we are watching at the same time.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Are we also going to watch Mr. Robot in sync?
I don't know. Are you going to keep up with it, Josh?
Well played. Well played.
All right. Well, I have also been watching Star Trek Discovery. I think I'm 4 or 5 episodes into that. That's really good. I am absolutely enjoying it. I finished season 4 of Black Mirror, with the exception of Bandersnatch, which I can't watch on my Apple TV for some stupid reason. So I have to figure out how I'm going to watch it. I think I can watch it on my Fire TV. It's really weird. Like, I can't even watch it on my iOS tablet.
What? What about Xbox?
Probably. I hadn't tried that. Probably. Yeah. Weird. Just very weird. Also watched the Extras finale. This is the last episode of the second season. And this is the show that I'm watching with Court Killers. And then I started watching season 2 of Cheers. I don't know if you remember or not, but the reason that I've been watching Cheers when I was watching it is because of Jenny Josephson's podcast with her husband, Let's Talk About Cheers. And they are hysterical and crazy insightful when they're talking about what's going on in this show. Like, they're really analyzing the comedy and the way they blocked out the episodes. And I mean, it's just a completely fascinating view of Cheers, like you've probably never considered it before. If you enjoyed Cheers, I thoroughly recommend that you check out Let's Talk About Cheers from Jenny Josephson, and I think you will not be disappointed. And they have a special guest on every once in a while that was involved in the production and writing of the series. So how cool is that?
That is cool.
Speaking of podcasts, I'm still behind. Like, I haven't caught up from vacation. I think I'm like 5 days behind now. I've gotten it down under a week. But man, it's hard to catch up once you're behind.
Yeah, it's not really. You just skip some of the more boring episodes.
Completionist. Completionist. Can't do it. All right. So you watched The Good Place. What else have you watched, Josh?
A little bit of Homeland. I think one episode. I wanted to watch 2, but I was tired and decided, no, I should go to bed. I made the right choice. It's hard, but sometimes I actually make the right choice. In terms of gaming, there, I believe I mentioned last week that there was going to be a beta or demo or whatever of Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint last weekend. I did get to play that. I did really enjoy it. But dude, when games are coming out in the fall, there are too many games to be like, yep, I'm buying all of these. I think I'll probably end up getting Breakpoint, but not right when it comes out. Like, this feels like I'm going to wait for Black Friday and it'll probably be half price and pick it up then. And then only if the people that I normally play with are also picking it up. But It's kind of a little bit more sandboxy, open world type thing. You know, it's still like The Division. You're running around third person shooter. It's not so much cover based shooter and stuff like that. But you've got vehicles, you've got helicopters, which are a ton of fun. It's fun. It's really fun. I've also, because I did finally eventually get access to Google's Play Pass, started downloading some Android games on my Pixel 3 XL and my Samsung Galaxy Tab to play those. And, you know, some of the games that are on there are legit like indie games that are on PC and Xbox and stuff. And one that I've had my eye on for a long time is a little game called Evoland. It is a role-playing game that's really, I'm not super far into it, and I don't think it's super long. Like, when I think of role-playing games, I think it's at least a 15-hour experience. But this is an indie mobile sort of thing, so I think it's only like a 2.5-3 hour experience. But it starts off as a game that looks like a Game Boy game. Like, it's like no colors, very little that you can even do. And then as you move through the game, it like unlocks features that were eventually added to the genre. So eventually you get color screen, and eventually you get save points, and overworld traversal and random battles, and eventually the battle sequences look like Final Fantasy VII instead of a Game Boy game. Like, it's really cute. It's really cute and fun. So that's maybe my play pass pick for everybody.
Cool.
I didn't play any NHL over the week.
What?
I know. I don't remember what I was doing Friday night, and then Saturday night was Breakpoint. And Sunday, I was exhausted, like too exhausted to play games. So that was the night that I watched Homeland. So yeah, no NHL for me. Hopefully I'll be getting back to that this week. Did watch a fair amount of football. And this week, NHL season starts. Penguins home opener Thursday night. Very, very excited. So gonna have that to talk about too. Cyber Keys wants to know if we're excited about Joker. Are you excited about that movie? I'm not.
I'm not excited about it because I didn't win it in the movie draft. So I don't want it to do well.
I'm never excited about DC movies. So sorry, not for me.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I think I think it will be interesting to see how, I don't know, in my mind, Heath Ledger is Joker. And even as good an actor as Joaquin is, I don't think he's going to live up. So anyway, hey, I forgot to mention, I did watch some football. I watched Maryland get trounced by Penn State 59-0.
Wow. And nowadays, like this season, no game is a certainty for Penn State.
Yeah. I mean, they've done pretty well this season, but holy cow.
Maryland's not that great. Don't get that excited.
I know. But a good season so far. So, you know, I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
A not terrible season.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that is it for what's going on in our entertainment centers. But before we are out of here, we teased earlier that next episode is episode 500. And we have so much stuff planned that we know in advance that we need to take a week off to make it happen. No, that's not really why we're taking a week off. We're taking a week off because I'm traveling next week. But in 2 weeks, we'll be at episode 500.
Yeah. It's still like we've been planning for this for like a year, and it still blows my mind that we're almost at 500 episodes.
Yeah, it's just insane. And what's funny is earlier we were just talking about 250.
Right.
And that doesn't seem that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't really. So we started this show. Well, actually, we didn't start this show. Adam Thursby started this show back in 2008. I came on later. You came on around episode 100?
130-something. 138, I think. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. So, I mean, we've obviously been around for the vast majority of it. But yeah, the show started in 2008. And a lot of you have been with us from the very beginning. And even if you haven't been with us, you've been into this technology since at least 2008. For you old farts like Richard and I, even longer than that. So here's what we want you guys to do. We want to know, what did your entertainment center look like in 2008? What did you have? Were you rocking a Windows Media Center PC on Windows Vista?
Come on.
Windows 7 wasn't out yet. That was 2009.
Wow.
Like, maybe you were still on XP Media Center. Maybe you were using Sage TV. Like, there were all sorts of different options back then. And we want you to write in, let us know what your media center looked like in 2008. What did you miss the most? You know what? They're definitely like, I still miss Media Center. We might kind of fun of it from time to time, but I do miss it.
Yep.
What else do you miss? And what are you most excited about in today's entertainment technology? There's a lot to be really, really excited about. Windows Home Server Show. Yeah, that was another one. GP3 just brought up in the chat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of the good old days, right? Although I'm not sure that it is. Like, things are really good right now. Things are really good right now. So write in, let us know. We've got stuff to give away. I don't know that we're going to give you many hints on what types of things that we have to give away.
No. Okay,
no hints. But there will be giveaways for some of you who write in. I don't even know yet how we're going to pick who wins what. But we've got things to give away. And you only get a chance at winning these things if you write in or send us an audio message, too. If you want to record an MP3 and send it to us, as long as it sounds good, we'll play it and
like,
save our voices.
I would love that. Like, more than anything, I would love it if people record a message for us.
Yes.
In advance, I'm going to remind Paul that they need to be under 5 minutes long.
Under 90 seconds, I think, would be
okay.
Nice.
Well, that's going to be hard, actually. That's like maybe 2 minutes. Let's try and target 2 minutes, 120 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun. You don't have quite 2 weeks because we need a little bit of time to read through them and stuff like that. So if you could get them into us by, let's say, Sunday the 13th, that'd be nice to give us a couple of days to prepare for this stuff. So you've got almost 2 weeks, a week and a half, really, I guess, if you're not listening live, to let us know what your journey has looked like, because it's been a heck of a journey for the two of us. And I know it's been just as interesting for all the rest of you.
Cool, cool. I am so looking forward to this. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
All right. Well, like I said, I am not going to be around next week. That's why we're not doing an episode next week. The reason for that is that I will be at the Smart Kitchen Summit again out in Seattle, and I'm going to be in Seattle for most of the week. So if you're out in that area and you're around and you want to try and meet up at some point, let me know and I'll try and see if it's possible to find some time in the schedule to connect. That would be really cool.
Very cool. All right. So we will see you in 2 weeks. If you want to get a hold of us in the meantime, we're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard, and the website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're all of those other places. We've got email. All of our information is in the show notes. Go over to thedigitalmediazone.com, get our contact information, get your list of free video games, and send us some messages. Also, while you're there, you'll want to check out the latest episode of Home On, Richard's other podcast covering the DIY smart home scene. Richard, what's going on with Home On?
So next week is Fire Prevention Week, and aligned with that, we have an episode of Home On featuring one of the founders of Lifedoor. I think we talked about this on our last episode. Lifedoor is this really cool product that is going to help save lives in your home in the event of a fire. Something definitely worth listening to, and I think we had a great conversation. I'm looking forward to people hearing that.
Yeah, that'll be great. Very cool. All right. And then come back in 2 weeks for episode 500. We will, of course, be doing that show live using Mixer right here at thedigitalmediazone.com. Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern is when the show goes live. You won't want to miss episode 500. But that's going to do it for episode 499. He's Richard Gunther. And I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.